Okay, how's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Good. So, what I'm going to do, can everybody hear me?
Yep.
What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to be kind of picking up and slightly reviewing some of the information that I covered at the tent event. There's some little bit more depth that I wanted to go into, and so I'm going to do that this morning. By the grace of God, they're going to be like a fan. Like if I'm neglecting one side, no, I'm just kidding. No, it's all good. So I'm going to pray for myself again. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would help me to communicate clearly, and Lord, I pray that you would that would be about the revelation that comes by your Spirit in our hearts, what you want to share with us this morning, Lord. And pray that anything that's not of you, we just let it fall to the ground. And we ask these things in your heavenly name, amen. Okay. So one of the things that, I don't know if it crosses your mind sometimes, but often, you know, this has been 3 years now, being a part of Lighthouse House of Prayer. And if you've ever had those occasions where there's things that you do, but you know that they're really good, but you maybe haven't necessarily had the occasion to articulate them. Another example comes to my mind. Sometimes my kids will ask me what a word is, and I'm like, I know what that word is, but I'm having a hard time explaining it. Sometimes I feel like that's where we're at with the House of Prayer. What we want to be able to do is not only know that we come here because of what it's doing to our heart, and we know that it works, but even just being able to understand the why behind the what that's happening here. Does that make sense? And so I'm just going to go into it's so broad. It's amazing to me as the more I begin to understand what we do here, how exhaustive it is. And there's so many aspects to the House of Prayer, which is why we could really easily talk about it week after week after week and just see different facets of it. And so this is just going to kind of be like that. So to start off with, I just wanted to, as I said, I'm going to piggyback off of an information I was talking about at the tent revival. And I had a handout for you all, and I apologize that I should have printed it last night like I printed these notes, but I didn't. I waited till this morning, and I was having internet problems. So after fighting with it for 15 minutes, if you would like a copy of the scriptures from today's notes, then let me know and I can email it to you. So I'm going to start off with Isaiah 56:7, if you want to go there. Isaiah 56:7. Isaiah 56:7 says, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." What's really great about this passage is if you think about what this means, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, is Isaiah, by the spirit of prophecy, was revealing the future identity, the current identity, and the eternal identity of God's people. He was revealing their destiny when he was saying to them, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." I mean, if you think about it, if somebody said to you, "Well, what's your destiny? What's your purpose?" I mean, would you really, you know, maybe you'd think about a lot of different things, but how many of us would say, "My destiny, my purpose is to be a house of prayer for all nations"? Would we say that?
Yeah.
We we might not, I mean, maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't necessarily be inclined to do that right away, but that's pretty significant. I mean, if you just kind of just let that sink in for a minute. He was saying, for God's people, this was their identity. This was their greatest purpose, was to be called a house of prayer for all nations. So he not only declared their purpose, he declared their identity, but he declared their objective. So maybe this is an Old Testament thing, right? Because I am talking about Isaiah. That's part of the Old Testament. Isaiah was writing to Jews, right? So this is probably just an Old Testament reality then, right? Isn't that what they always say? That's an Old Testament thing, right? Well, we can kind of throw that one out, because if you go to Matthew 21:13, Jesus is quoting somebody. I don't know if you've ever done that, quoted somebody. Jesus is quoting somebody, and guess who he's quoting in Matthew 21:13? Isaiah. So he's quoting Isaiah, and he's quoting him to urgently confirm this important truth that was revealed to Isaiah by the Spirit, that Jesus was underlining, highlighting, underscoring. You know, that was revealed to Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. And so now Jesus is reiterating, and he's actually quoting the Isaiah passage. In Matthew 21:13, he says, "And then he said to them, 'It is written.'" So it is written, meaning from the prophets, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." So there's these passages and many others that we won't get into. I'm just highlighting those that reveal our primary identity, that will be a house of prayer. And I laid out this history last time, but just as a review, like, what is prayer? We would say, what is prayer? Anybody can say it. We're going to speak. Talking to God. That's really actually the best definition, is just talking to God, listening to him, being in a relationship with him. I mean, did we do that this morning? Yeah, there was praising of God, worshiping God, which is part of that talking to God, part of that communication with him. There was listening to what God was saying to us. There was declaring what God was saying to us. So it's being in relationship with him. Here's the first example of where that happened in the Bible, and I mentioned this last time. Does anybody remember where the first example of this praying, this connection with God happened? Anybody remember?
Going back as far as like Enoch and all that?
Yes, to the very beginning. Well, no. Yeah, very. No, even before Enoch.
No, that's like, no, no,
yeah. Adam and Eve, right? Adam and Eve. Yes, exactly. So that was really the first official prayer meeting. And why would we say it's the first official prayer meeting? And it's really because of the fact that there was conversation going on, right? They walked with him in the cool of the day. Did Noah talk to God? Abraham? Moses? Like, we could think about some of these prayers. So the scriptures show so many people that were like in this relationship with him. They were praying to him. This is what they were made to do. So when we talk about their relationship to God, it's what they were doing, and it's really what God is calling us to do. But whenever we look at something that God made us to do and that he encourages us to do, of course, the enemy is there attacking. He wants to interfere. He wants to disrupt. He wants to distort. He wants to break down our prayer life any way he can. He wants to discourage us any way we can. And in fact, I think that sometimes maybe the tendency might think, okay, I got this one. We're a house of prayer. You know, I'm good at the prayer thing. I don't have a problem with that. But we're really not immune, actually. I think more so we're a target because of the fact that we're in this communication with God. He will cause us to doubt whether it's working. He tries to distract us. He tries to disconnect us. He tries to get us tired or maybe bored. Or, you know, we were just talking, just all these, sometimes it can be mental, sometimes it can be physical. He can get us impatient so that maybe we feel like it's not happening fast enough, so we get just discouraged and we're not as diligent anymore. He creates confusion. You know, sometimes even, one of the reasons why I want to talk about this is because how many have really had this question asked? Well, why? No, nobody really around us, when we say we're a part of a house of prayer, they might like question their mind, like, okay, well, what does that really mean? But there's not very many people, and that would say, oh, that's bad, praying is bad, right? But if they were to come here, it would be a different reality. I mean, I think many of us who had a different paradigm, if somebody were to come here, we would feel compelled to try to maybe give them a debrief or something of, okay, what to expect and what this is like. But why do we do it in this particular way? Sometimes there's confusion for that. He just wants to shut down our prayer life. So it's just important for us to recognize there's a big target on our back. We're constantly being attacked in the area of prayer. And in fact, I would say that one of the things that happens is that when we come here, maybe we feel like you're physically here. He can attack you here. And just with all the things that are happening, which is why it's so important that we're all covering this place in prayer, especially before Sunday mornings, you know, Saturday night, Sunday morning, being praying for this time of fellowship that we're having together. But he definitely attacks our personal prayer lifetime. He attacks our family prayer lifetime, doesn't he? I mean, sometimes I feel like that's even the worse area than necessarily right here. So it's all part of that. So why does he hit our prayer life the hardest? It's not surprising that Satan is attacking believers in many ways. I mean, we know that. There's plenty of things that he's attacking. You know, when you think about the Christian walk, there's a lot of different aspects of what we do. I mean, just a few of them are the fact that we pray, but serving one another, evangelism, giving, working in the community. There's all these different aspects of our Christian life, but doesn't it feel like one of the greatest challenges is in the prayer part? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think even about the bigger church, we sometimes, because there's a couple of prayer breakfasts that I know that that Lonnie and there's like a men's prayer breakfast that Lonnie and Tom have been participating in with some other churches in the area. And one of the common themes that you hear is that they're really struggling to have prayer meetings. Like the prayer meetings are the worst attended things. You know, there just seems to be so little interest in that particular area of prayer. So it isn't just our own personal lives, but it's just like the church in general. That's a big area where there's a lot of struggle. And so when you think about the church is doing Sunday worship and Sunday school and Bible study and serving the poor and kids ministry and on and on and on and on. But again, the corporate prayer, those types of things really have the lightest attendance. So what does the enemy attack more than anything else in our life? Prayer. Why does he attack prayer? Why do you think he attacks it so hard? It's our connection to him. That's right. That's how we connect to him. We were created in his image to interact with him. This is our most... There's other things that he's that are part of our identity. We'll touch on this. You know, we're going to be priests and kings, and we're going to help him rule and reign and legislate in his government. But the thing that is so central to all of those things is our connection with him. There's nothing that we can do apart from him. And so the enemy is fervent about attacking our connection with him. So. And if you think about it for a second, why did God save us? Anybody, why do you think he saved us? What's that? He loves us? Yeah. He wants connection with us? Yeah. All those different things. Yeah, he loves us. He wants connection with us. And so if he wants to interact with us, so what is interacting with God called? Praying. Spring. So, you know, I was picturing one of these kids' games in my mind, and I'm not very good at them. I was having this conversation with Landon, and he was shaking his head at me because I was talking about a certain game of tag. And I was like, well, what's the one where this happens, you know, where the person is, they get frozen, and then they got to stand there, and then the other, then there's the, you know, the bad guy is standing there, and he's trying to keep the other ones from tagging him, because then if the other ones that are free will tag him, then they'll get free, and, you know, and then he's telling me, he knows a lot about this, the variations, and he's giving me all the aspects of different variations of tag that he is well acquainted with, and he's like, don't you know what this is, Mom? Have you never played tag? And I was, it's been a long time ago, but what I'm picturing in my mind, though, is I'm just picturing, though, that there is, like, the enemy is doing whatever he can to, like, freeze you. You know, he's going to use whatever means, that whatever is the area of weakness and vulnerability that you may have. And he's going after that area with everything he has got, every weapon he's got, because he wants to freeze you. So if you can, you know, picture that, you, there's that separation happening from God, and you know, the person can't get freed unless they get touched again, and then they can get freed again. And so this just image came to my mind. And the question that I would have for you is, have you ever gotten frozen in your prayer life? I mean, whether it's discouragement or doubt, or maybe it's dullness. Maybe you're not, you're just not like, maybe it's pride. You're like, I'm good. Maybe it's just apathetic. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's condemnation. I mean, there's all of these different things that are at work. Some pride, I mean, that's a big one. But Satan definitely wants to keep us frozen. And the reason why he wants to keep us frozen is because he wants to keep us separated from the only one that can set us free. There is, so I guess the point I'm making, and it probably seems so obvious, but there is nothing that the enemy resists more in your life and in my life than our prayer life. The prayer life is totally under attack. And so I'm just going to pray real quick as I'm going through here. Lord, would you let our current and eternal identity register in our hearts so that we're not naive regarding the attacks of the enemy against our prayer life? Would you give us the grace to hold on to the promise that if we come near to you, you will come near to us? Lord, I pray you give us a vision and desire for growing in connection with you as individuals, as families, and as a corporate body. Would you help us to grow in what you created us for, to connect with you through prayer? So being a house of prayer basically means that we're going to grow in prayer. So whether we're talking about individuals or families or smaller groups or like as we come together here, but even beyond, because the house of prayer is beyond just us, but the house of prayer is global. You know, it's those that are committed. And it's interesting, I was listening to some neat stuff about from Mike Bickle, and he was talking about some testimonies that he had meeting some different people in the places in the world. And, you know, they'd get together and he'd say, so what's your story? And, you know, and so there's, you know, he's sharing a story about a guy that's saying he's in Africa. Well, you know, it's strange, but I just feel like the Lord has called me to you know, to set up a mechanism where worship and prayer are going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know. And he's like, what? This is crazy, you know. The Lord is, for the last 20 years, he's been speaking to people throughout the earth. So there's a global house of prayer where he's moving in the hearts of his people by the Spirit to come into this posture of worship and prayer night and day. So it's bigger than just us locally. I know this is just kind of a review, but I just want to, I feel like this is a really good simple definition of what's happening in the house of prayer. And when I say this, I want you to think about, did you see that even happening this morning where God speaks his word and it moves our heart? And we speak the very thing back to God and it moves his heart. And the result of that is that he opens his hand and he releases his resources in the earthly realm. Let me say that again, just so that we can like hear it. So to be a house of prayer, God speaks his word to our heart. You know, we're here, we're worshiping, we're listening to what he's saying. And as he speaks to our heart, it moves us. And as it moves us, you know, we're responding. You know, I thought it was really neat. And I was trying to scribble this down real quick because it was already happening midway. And then I was like, oh, I wish I was recording this, so I went to kind of like scribble these notes down here. But, you know, we're coming in here, and it's interesting. We get as much of him as we want. So the thing is that the climate in our house of prayer is set by everyone that comes here that is yearning for him and crying out for him. And that's what we're doing in the weakness. It doesn't, you know, it wouldn't matter even if we didn't have any instruments. It wouldn't matter if we had a small number of people. We just had the voices, because he's looking for worshipers that will worship him in spirit and truth. But we're crying out to him to come and move in this place. And we're asking, you know, we want to hear him, right? I love to see Alia come up, you know, and you can see what's happening is that God has showed something to her. And And, you know, you have a sense sometimes when I look in her face, I'm like, she sees something, but now she's got to go through this process of taking what she feels like the Lord has revealed to her from here and then move it out here. And so it's a process, right? And I'm seeing that happen, and I'm in, you know, when these kids come up, we talk about this, you know, he speaks through the mouths of babes, you know, we're listening. I'm like leaning my ear in. Just like we want to, because I'm leaning my ear into what she's going to say or what the kids say, because he's speaking through them, right? And I'm inclining my ear, but he wants us to be like that. He wants us to be like a little child that's just like believing. You're going to tell me something. I'm expecting that it's going to happen, you know? And then she says what she feels like the Lord, as she pauses for a minute, you know, is shaken there, but just that transparency of coming forward and being able to hear what she's saying, the humility to be able to do that. We're crying out, we're praying, I surrender. I want to know you more. And as we're doing this process and we're singing multiple songs, and, you know, my heart's moving, the chorus is moving, he's starting to reveal some things. Our hearts are crying out to him. It's touching his heart. He's revealing part of himself to us. Something's happening in our heart. Jen comes up and says, I'm paraphrasing here, but something like, I feel like he wants to show us some things, and we want to be able to release what he's showing to us, right? Probably, I'm guessing, at the same time, and even before Jen said that, he was speaking something to Tom's heart. He was speaking something to Alia's heart earlier. He was speaking something to Annie's heart. They're getting this picture in their mind. They're you know, inclining their ear in to meet him, because that's what we're here to do. It's not like I'm a spectator receiving, but I'm a participant in this. And then that's all like happening simultaneously. And I'm going to get to this in a little bit, but it's like his resources are being released. And I mean, it's so powerful. He's working. It's unity by the Spirit, because we're all seeking to connect with him in this vertical way. Right. And as we're connecting with him vertically by surrendering, by crying out, by just trying to put all the other stuff to the side and really enter in and cry out to him, he connects. We're connecting, and there's this back and forth that's going on. And then we start to even connect with each other horizontally, right? Because isn't that what happens? I mean, how many of you had that situation where, and this is like even further, like, what happens is, I was thinking about earlier, I don't know how many minutes before, but it's like, we want to release, we want his healing power to be released here in this place. This is, these thoughts are going through my mind. And then later, Jess comes up and is talking about, you know, the healing prayer. And I was, and even earlier, like before the Song of Ascents was brought up, I mean, did you see the tie-in? Stephanie was singing about that, you know, and Jen comes up and talks about seeing things, and then Andy comes up and talks about the Song of Ascents, and in his, you know, as I'm trying to scribble down what's happening here, and I'm not getting all the words right, but God in his mercy, he gives pictures which are a lot easier to remember. You know, I mean, I don't remember every detail of what was just shared, but I'm remembering Annie talking about a hill, and it was a fun hill, just the right amount of hill to run up. And I'm picturing Tom talking about picking stuff out of the grooves between his, you know, his shoe, and what that meant, the picture, that the message that goes attached to that. I mean, it is only God can do that. It is so amazing. It's just like you can't orchestrate what the Holy Spirit can do. And it's so great, because we say, I surrender. I want more of you. And we say, have your way in me. And he has his way in us, doesn't he? So it's an amazing thing that's happening. I think you can see it. And what I love about it is, I just see this idea of, I'm probably getting a little bit ahead, but, you know, just about when this process happens, we're touching God's heart, and his resources are released, you know, the resources for healing. You know, it's interesting, because it's like this worship and trying to touch him and see what he's saying and listen to him. And then comes the part about Let's pray for the healing. Let's pray for, let's see his power being released. Every time prayer gets answered, you can be assured that God's power has been released, because his heart was moved by people that did that. I was trying to think of the practical way, a practical thing about this, but I'll save that story for a minute to see if Landon makes his way back in here, because it's a little bit about him. All right, I'll find my place. So it's good to know, just at its most basic level, that God saved us because he really wanted to interact with us. He wanted to pray with us. So I was just talking a little bit about his resources being released. This whole back and forth that takes place, that goes on, is where his resources get released. And it isn't just something that happens here on earth, but it's something that's going to happen in heaven. I said this at the tent revival. It's not like we're going to get to heaven and we're going to be in his, we're going to be in the presence of God, and then we're going to concentrate on building some hospitals and some medical clinics and setting up some farming operations, you know, for building, you know, food and so on. It's kind of like, it seems kind of silly to us, because somewhere in our heart we recognize the fact that when we're with the presence of God, his power is going to be manifest, and we're not going to need a hospital. Does that make sense? He's going to release his power. So his resources, though, are sometimes when we think about God releasing his resources, we think about them as being like money, but it isn't money. His resources can be creative, prophetic release, like what just happened this morning, some important things that need to happen. His resources could be supernatural healing of our mind, will, and emotions. His resources could be, connecting us with other people in the body, you know, that can help us grow or help us in a season. It could be his resources as like this unity that only happens supernaturally. I mean, right? It is seriously a supernatural thing to get along with people. It really is. You know what I mean? I mean, most people can't. It's a hard thing in your family. It's a hard thing in extended family. That's an amazing thing. He wants to release those resources here with us. It's impossible to get along apart from the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. His supernatural resources is the power to walk in righteousness, his favor on our life, him going before us in all things. Can you guys think of some other examples of just when we move God's heart, his favor being released? Think about that for a minute. I'm just going to share like an example that came to my mind. I was thinking about this morning as this is going on, and I feel like God is this fragrant offering going up, and the Lord's, it's pleasing to the Lord's heart. And so he's pouring his spirit down in us in this meeting, in our presence, right? A sweet aroma of Christ. And I was thinking about this weekend, Landon and I had a little time with Lonnie and Lena. We're at a cross country meet. And I said, dude, would you do me a favor? Would you? He plays the guitar so well, and God has really given him a gift, and sometimes he's just like picking through things, and he's creating things as he goes, and it's just glorious. I'm just like, will I ever learn how to do that thing that is wonderful? And I could just listen to him forever. And so I was like, dude, would you do me a big favor, and would you just... I said, about a year ago or so, I took some of my prayers that I had in my little prayer journal that I wanted to do on a regular basis, and I found an instrumental guitar online, and then in the privacy of my bedroom when no one else was home, I sang my prayers into the recorder to the music, because it's easier than, it's a lot more wakey than it's kind of sing-songy, and every once in a while I hear my sing-songy, my prayer list in my head, because I did it to some music, to just playing YouTube, right? And I was like, this has been about a year ago, and I would really love to get some more of mine, more prayers to music, but I don't want to do it on YouTube. I just want to do it with your music. And so he was kind enough to oblige me. And we did this for about, I think maybe 30 minutes. That was like, that was a generous gift on Landon's part to his mom. And when we got done, I was so happy. I'm so happy even talking about it. I was just so giddy. I was like, oh, I got some of these really important prayers, and some really had to do with family prayers. I want to pray weekly, you know, and sometimes my mind is not there and I just want to play the recording, and then it's like what sweet music does to our spirit, right? So, because God knows, He knows this works, right? And I am like so happy after this is done because He was willing to do that. And, you know, and it's not His favorite thing to do. You know what I mean? He'd probably rather play by himself and not have to listen to his mom sing her prayer list. But, you know, it just showed that he wanted to do it because it was going to please me. And I feel like at that moment, I'm like, you know, if he would have asked me, I'm a little hesitant to say this now because then he'll probably try to take me up on later. But he would be like, Mom, would you go take me out for ice cream or something like that? I would have been like, yeah, I will. I mean, whatever you would have asked me for, you know what I mean? It would have been like, hey, you got it. You know, you have just touched my heart in such a major way, you know? And this is what is happening with God. I feel like I was picturing that. He's just so pleased with our weak attempt to just reach out to Him like, oh, God, I just want to touch You. I want to desire You more. I know I'm doing a not so great of a job, but I want to do a better job. Will You help me? And it's so pleasing to Him that He's like, I'm going to give You above and beyond what you could even hope or imagine. I'm just saying, that's what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? And I love that, because the thing that I think about when I even think about what we're doing here and the difference between like the counterfeit worship movement, worship and prayer movement, is that what happens is that we're not coming to Him with this agenda and trying to manipulate Him to do certain things that we want Him to do, but we're coming open-handed just saying, I just want to touch You, I just want to know You, I just want to be in relationship with You, I just want to connect and talk with You, and then whatever You decide You want to do, like, I'm not even coming here because You're going to do something for me, I'm just coming because I want to hang out with You. But God is like, here you go. Like, think about Solomon. I mean, you asked for wisdom, but I'm going to give it all to you, right? So that's just an amazing thing. So as I'm asking, I just asked that question, when this process happens and He releases His resources into the earth, what are some of those things that He's released that we haven't talked about? Peace. Stability. That's a big one. Anybody else? Unity. That's a big one. True unity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not unity that's like, okay, I'm gonna set aside this thing that I really don't agree with you about, but I'll just put it over here so that you and I can try to get along. Anything else? Any other resources you can think of?
Wisdom.
That's another big one. Yeah, releasing His wisdom in the earth.
Joy.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Any others? I think I talked about this earlier, relationships. Like, He'll give relationships to us to have to each other. It's so much, you know, God's resources are not, they're so much beyond monetary, right? He's so good. It's the power of His Spirit just being poured out on us. So engaging in prayer is not, we don't do it to release His power into the earthly realm, but it is just a byproduct. It's just part of that that love that He pours out on us. So why did God do it this way? Why do you think He ordained it this way? That His resources would only be released, you know, in the context of what we described there, in this relationship, this communion with Him. I think the reason why is because it's not only what we're going to be doing now, but it's what we're going to do in the future. I kind of give my hospital analogy, but basically what's going to happen in the future is that this is how things are going to get done. It isn't like, you know, let's elect some people and let's get some really smart and gifted people together. Let's put them in a room, put their heads together, and get some stuff done. Is that the way it's going to happen in heaven?
No.
It's going to happen like it's happening right now. We're going to get together. We're going to hear what God's saying. We're going to find out, what do you want to do, God? That's a good idea. Listen to him. That's a great idea, God. God, will you do that, God? Yeah, I'm going to do that. And he's going to do it. That's the way it's going to work. I mean, that's a powerful thing. So it's going to happen. We're going to be doing that for a billion years from now and in the resurrection. So even when we have a resurrected body, we're still going to live in prayer. We're still going to speak the things that God puts in our heart. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Lord Jesus, I just pray for an increased capacity for us to say the things that you put in our heart, like you did this morning, in Jesus' name. So when we pray in agreement with him, and he's going to release his will and his resources onto the earth. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So what's happening here in this verse? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and what will happen? It'll be done for you. This is kind of what we've been talking about here, right? It's coming into agreement with him, and his power is released through the earth. Have you ever heard the fact that, like, somebody said, well, God didn't answer my prayers? And we all know it's a good thing he didn't answer all of our prayers, because all of the prayers we prayed were not in alignment with him and certainly would not have been helpful for us, right? So the idea of him releasing his power is like, I get into this conversation with him. I'm in communication with him. I'm not praying things that he didn't tell me. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to mess up, but we're trying as hard as we can to pray the things that he's already putting on our heart, because those are his perfect will. So we're praying in agreement with him to release those things through the earth. It's kind of a picture, if you think about it, Jesus is right now at the right hand of the Father, and he's functioning in intercessory prayer. He's interceding for us night and day, even as the enemy is accusing us night and day. John 14:13 says, abide in me and ask, which is intercession, right? Abide in me and ask for anything in my name, and it will be given to you, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. So Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And where are we at in this connection with him? The Bible says we're seated with him, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Yep. So, like, not physically yet, but right, we're seated with him. We're his family. So that's exactly accurate. I mean, we're sons and daughters. We're the body of Christ. We're a royal priesthood. All of these things talk about our identity. So prayer's not going to be over when we meet the Lord. It's going to be going to a whole new level. It's interesting, just I think even it's really easy, even in this culture that we're in, to just make prayer something more, seem more complicated. But sometimes I think it's just good to just come back to the fact that it's just talking to God. When the human spirit is operating at its highest, what do you think it's doing? When our spirit is operating at its very highest, at the optimally, what God made us to do, what do you think it's doing?
Abiding.
What was it about the Spirit?
I said following the Spirit.
Following the Spirit. Absolutely. Yep. It's connecting with the Father. It's all of those things. So the reason why prayer releases his power is because that's how he created the human spirit to do it. So going back to what we talked about with the enemy attacking us, if you think about the fact that we were made to connect with him, and this is how we connect with him, is in prayer, this would make a lot of sense why the enemy is attacking it. His primary goal is to disconnect us, separation from the Father. So many reasons why he wants to do it, but he definitely doesn't want his resources released in the earth. All of the stuff we just talked about that we desperately need, you know, peace, unity, love, his presence, healing power. He definitely doesn't want our faith to grow. He definitely doesn't want us to get divine revelation from the Lord about what he's doing, insights. He definitely doesn't want us to resist him. You know, you think about the armor of God. He doesn't want us to resist him because literally prayer is part of the armor of God. He definitely doesn't want that. That is not good for him. Ephesians 6:10-18 covers the the armor of God, but verse 18 says specifically, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, it's just, I'm impressed by the fact that is there room for improvement here to pray more? When I ask God, I'm like, Lord, seriously, I mean, I know there's a lot going on, but literally there's very few things that you can't do and pray at the same time. And it's just about inviting him into more stuff. I mean, just pray, Lord, I just pray that would be our first response in every situation. Would you help me do this? I mean, he can literally, I mean, sometimes maybe in the past I would have felt embarrassed about some of the things I pray about, but I'm like, just Lord, seriously, what am I going to cook for dinner tonight? I just can't think of anything. There's so much, you know, it seems like a dumb thing, but literally, I mean, we can talk to him about everything throughout the day. We have to make dinner. I mean, it's a practical thing. I mean, we got to deal with issues with our children. Lord, help me to approach this in a loving way, but in your way with firmness. And it's just it's a constant conversation that's going on. I'm so grateful. Can you imagine not getting to talk to the Lord? I mean, what a miserable existence. Have you ever had this situation where you're having a bad day and all of a sudden you realized, oh, I've like not even talked to God today. Has anybody had that happen? That's a miserable day. I mean, that's a terrible thing to be disconnected from the Father. So the enemy wants to keep us frozen. But the good news is that it's the bad news, really. We're going to stay frozen if we disconnect from him, if we don't connect with him. It's just a matter of how long do you want to be frozen? I mean, it isn't fun in the game to stand there like this. Usually the person that's there, you're hollering like, come on, tag me, right? You know, get me free. I'm like, I've been sitting over here forever. The good news is that unlike the game, we don't have to wait until we physically get touched to get released, to get unfrozen. All we got to do is to cry out for him to unfreeze us. Father, I need you. I'm doubting. Give me faith, Lord. Help my unbelief. Father, I'm fearful. Pour out your perfect love, your power, and give me the sound mind. Give me the mind of Christ. Lord Jesus, I'm feeling condemnation and shame. Would you help me to know that you're for me and not against me? Lord, would you help me to know that you made me to need you? I'm supposed to need you. It's not bad. It's good. Father, I'm caught up in addiction. Father, will you fill me with your Spirit and release me from the bondage of the enemy? Father, will you help your love penetrate my heart so that nothing else will satisfy? Father, I feel dull. Nothing else seems to be. Something's missing and I'm looking for it in all these different places. Lord, help me to find it in you. Lord, I'm confused. Bind up lying spirits. In the name of Jesus, release your truth into my heart. That's another example that was happening this morning. Did I say that? I was thinking about, Jen had the message about hearing God, and then we had several people that came up, talked about hearing God, but in my spirit, I was thinking, the enemy tries to tell people that, because he's done it to me, you can't hear him. Like, yeah, exactly. So I was thinking it in my mind, and I was praying it actually in my mind, and then Stephanie prayed it, and I was just like, oh, Lord Jesus, your presence is so sweet. The unity of the body is so sweet. Father, help me by your Spirit to spend more time in your presence. I want to have deep interaction with you. Father, help me to know how great your love is towards me. These are just things we can cry out. Now I'm going to pray. Lord, help us to see how the enemy is seeking to separate us from our connection with you. Help us to identify it and immediately cry out to you for help. Remove any tendency to try to fix things apart from you. Gracious Father, would you increase our capacity to spend time with you, to make space in our schedules, to take time to listen. Lord, would you help us to talk to other people less and talk to you more? So I've got about halfway through my notes, and I think I'm going to stop there. We're going to do the rest next time. But Lord Jesus, we thank you for the time that we've had together. We thank you for what you're teaching us about our eternal identity. Lord, I just pray that we would embrace it and just walk more in it. Lord, just into the fullness of it. Lord, I pray that we would know that it is actually it pleases you, it transforms us, and it is such a service to our brothers and sisters that we live in community with. Lord, I just pray that we would really surrender. Lord, I want to get more surrendered every day. Lord, I thank you that as I come into your presence, you're helping me to tear away the things that are keeping me from experiencing more of your transforming love. Lord, I just want it to rush over me, to invade my heart. Lord, I just want to see how coming in this place and actually following this process that David, the man after your own heart, set up the worship order after your own heart, because it's what you gave him by your Spirit. Lord Jesus, we want to touch you, so we want to touch you in the way that you said touches your heart, that you commanded David to say, this is how I want you to do it, and this is how I want you to do it for generations to come. And this is a model of what's happening in heaven. This is how you touch my heart, and this is how I release my presence in your midst. Lord, we love you. We just want more of you. Would you help us to confess the things that are keeping us from going in more, Lord? We thank you for what you're doing here, Lord, but we just want to go more. We want to step it up another notch, Lord Jesus. We don't want there to be any separation, Lord. No separation. Show us what's separating us from you, Lord Jesus. Help us to go all in. Help us to be fully surrendered. We ask these things in your heavenly name. Amen.